This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this week's edition of Joy's very own show about pets. Thank you to the new Australian resident, Leo, for his brilliant morning of and brilliant soundtrack to the morning. My name's Kevin. Joining me in the studio today is Oslam and Alan. Hello, guys.
Hello, how are
Hello.
You?
Hello.
A happy first of the month to you guys today. It is the 1st of February. Which is exciting.
It is.
Means it's only 2 weeks to my birthday.
That's on the calendar, and there's loads happening this month for us at the home and early next month.
That's right. So February and March are shaping up to be quite a big one at the home as we're heading to our centenary. So listen out to the dog dates at the end of the program for some event information.
The summer holidays will have wrapped up for most of you this week with work and the school year now in full swing. Are you feeling slightly anxious about leaving your pet at home?
Perhaps you've introduced a new family member of the four-legged variety over the break and we'll be now parting from them for the first time. Don't sweat because we have a whole program of handy tips for you.
There's loads of information as usual, so if you're on your lunch break or maybe just heading out of the office, make sure to take a pen with you to take down some notes.
Look, if you've got any questions already, send us a text or...
That's right.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
You can SMS us on 0427 joy949 or, as I said, email on air at joy.org.au. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, we do actually podcast the show as well. So if you miss anything, you can check that out on our Joy program page at joy.org.au. So also coming up on Pets Allowed today,
Kevin will share his tips on backyard boredom.
Alan, you'll, I believe, be looking at the benefits of fish oil.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to take a look back on the news of the week with as us from the Lost Dogs Home. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Oslam and Alan. I almost said Alan then. It's a new name for you. So some of the biggest news this week is actually the flooding in Queensland. Now, many of you might not actually know that we actually have two shelters up in Queensland. Oz, you heard a bit from Kate about how those shelters are going.
Yeah, well, firstly, you know, our thoughts and hearts go out to all the people impacted by the floods up in Queensland. But we did, during the week, hear a lot of stories about people and their pets. And it's such a horrible thing to go through. And we did touch base with our shelters up there. Our Warra shelter was not impacted, but Willawong had a lot of water around them and also some trees down. Also, a lot of staff were affected by the floods themselves. So it's just amazing that, you know, they've just basically, even though they've been personally affected by it at home, they've been impacted on it at work, but they've just gone on with the job, basically. So they've come back to work and done the best they can with all the animals coming through. Luckily, there hasn't been a huge increase as far as I can gather. But what they're doing is they're currently holding on to stray animals or lost animals for longer so that people looking for their pets will have the chance to go and claim them, because they understand that they're probably occupied with other things like cleaning up and so on.
That's right. And, you know, whilst this is still going, there are going to be more and more pets that we find, obviously. But it does give that opportunity to sort of think about yourself first and then your pets later, you know.
It's a very difficult
situation, but, you know, just we'll hold on to them until people come and collect them.
That's right. We will be looking into this story just a little bit more. So keep an eye out on our website, dogshome.com. Next week we should have an article up.
And now hopefully something that we're going to hear a lot more about after this whole thing happens is pets being reunited with their families. Obviously it's a tragic, you know, it's a tragedy to lose your pets during anything, but we love when we hear about pets being reunited. Now, Alan, I believe you might have a bit of a story for us.
We did. We heard from Lily and Andrew, who have a really pretty ragdoll cat called Maggie. And apparently she was quite vocal. They hadn't had her for very long, but she woke them up every morning looking for food and looking for attention. And then one morning she just simply wasn't there. So they did everything they could to find her. So they put up posters. They called the dogs home. They called local vets. And, you know, nothing came up at all. So they kind of were, they didn't give up hope, and they kept going with the posters. But eventually they got a call 2 months later to say that someone had found her on a farm about 14, 15 kilometres from where they live. And they took her into the local vet clinic and they scanned her. And luckily she had a microchip with all their details up to date. And they went and picked her up and took her home.
That's a very important point there. Like, you know, if you do find a lost pet, to make sure that you take them somewhere like a shelter or a vet so that they can actually be scanned for a microchip, because there might be someone out there looking for them.
That's right.
And, you know, that's probably one of the best ways for the animal to actually go home. But it's also, the other point is making sure that the details are up to date, because that's something we find a lot as well, is that people's details aren't up to date and we have to try and track you down to get your pet home to you. Whereas if your details were just up to date and there was a mobile phone that we could call and say, hey, look, we've got your pet, that would be a lot easier for us as well.
Definitely. Don't wait until you lose your pet to update the details. Yeah. Do it right away.
And the more, you know, the more ways you give us to contact you, the better. So mobile phones, second contact, email addresses, you know, keep it all up to date.
Now, we also had a bit of a post-adoption story, so a happy story coming out as well, Oz.
We did. Annie and Marie's story is quite a great one. This is also up on our website. Marie was looking for a bit of extra company, but she was a dog lover, basically. So she came along to the home and met Annie and was immediately converted into a cat lover. And, we just heard from them, and you can read that story on our website, dogshome.com.
Yep, dogshome.com. So that was our news of the week. All our other news is going to be up on the website, or you can find us on social media as well. Just check out our Joy program page, joy.org.au.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Every week on Pets Allowed, we put a dog or a cat into the spotlight as our Pet of the Week. Now, we have a very special little dog up for our Pet of the Week this week. Oz, tell us a bit about Mickey.
Well, I was going to say, firstly, his name is Mickey, and he is so fine, definitely. We met him this morning, and he blew our minds. Ha!
Brilliant pun. Brilliant.
But no, he is really fantastic. Very inquisitive. I found was pulling at the lead when we went for a walk and wanted to smell everything. He was really, really lots of fun to hang out with. Really affectionate, Kev, don't you think? Like when you got him up on your lap, he just, you know,
yeah,
gave you a bit
really
of a kiss and a cuddle.
Really enjoyed a bit of a cuddle. He's a very sweet dog. Now, he is a Dachshund cross, so he's very low to the ground and very long as well.
Yes.
So, Alan, a bit about Dachshunds. What are something we should look out for with those kind of dogs?
Any dog that's that kind of shape is prone to back trouble. So I suppose you want to be careful that they're not running upstairs constantly and, you know,
jumping on couches and jumping off beds and that sort of thing.
Just be a little bit careful with them.
Yep. So if you're interested in meeting Mickey, take down his ID number. It's 931706. Mickey is a four-year-old Dachshund, as we said. He's tricolour in appearance. And, he's currently at our North Melbourne shelter. So, the number again, 931706.
Yeah, if you want to see a photo of Mickey, it is up on our Facebook page. And there's a few photos of there with me and Mickey. I think he's very cool.
Also, last week we met Chewy from our Echuca shelter. Although a couple of our listeners liked the sound of him, went along to meet him, they actually met another perfect match. So they ended up adopting another dog. So if you're interested in meeting Chewy, contact our Echuca shelter.
Chewy was the really nice, big, slightly older Labrador.
That's right.
Still was really playful and really friendly and liked a good time.
That's right.
And you can find all our dogs and cats up for adoption on our website, which is www.dogshome.com.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. So with many people returning to work this week and the school year commencing, on Pets Allowed today we're looking at ways to make sure that your pet is happy and safe while you're at work. We do want to hear from you as well though, so let us know what you do to make your pet happy when you're at work. You can SMS us 0427-JOY-949, email onair@joy.org.au or give us a call 1300-JOY-949. Now, Alan, I'm going to throw this first question over to you. Why is routine so important?
Well, I guess it's just like with people. If you know what's coming up and what you've got to deal with, then it isn't scary. Whereas, say you went to work every day and you had no idea what they were going to throw at you, you're going to get stressed. So with dogs, if you have a really well-organized routine, then it means they know where they are. They're much less anxious. They know what to expect. And, you know, they're just calmer and easier to manage.
Are there particular breeds that, you know, require more of a routine? Like some people?
I suppose not high maintenance, but working breeds tend to be, I suppose, more intelligent. And so they're more prone to, I suppose, thinking about things and trying to analyze things and get more upset if they get thrown out of kilter, kind of thing. Whereas, you know, little, you know, pet, or not all pets, but things like cavies, who, you know, they're just generally sweet little dogs who like to be on your lap.
They're companion animals. They're really bred for that companion.
Yeah, so. And they settle much more easily and don't get so bored.
Well, Kev, you've got your border collie who loves routine, absolutely, you know, flourishes with routine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that I've had to instill in her because she is a working breed. She's actually a really clever dog as well. So I can see, you know, the thoughts ticking over in her head a lot. So we quickly established a routine, which was in the morning I get up. She doesn't get up until I'm ready. Have a shower first and everything like that so that she can just get up and be ready to go. We just hang around in the kitchen for a while. I usually have my breakfast then, and then I'll feed her outside and she gets some toys and treats. We rotate her toys every day. Mm-hmm. Just before I go to work, I will make sure that her water's full and that sort of stuff as well, and clean. And yeah, just give her that bit of a distraction so that when I'm leaving, I don't make too much of a fuss about it, and she doesn't sort of think, oh, you know, Dad's going right now, what's going on? Mm. She'll just think, oh, well, there's food, you know, that's cool, it's feeding time. And then she knows that she'll be left alone and have her own things to do.
So Kev's got just the one dog, but Alan, you've got three. How do you juggle three dogs when you leave for work
My three, it's funny, my dogs aren't really morning dogs. So if we're not going to work, so at the weekend, they get up in the morning, they go out to the garden, go to the loo, they'll come in, go back to bed, and they'll stay there until sort of 11:30. So they don't have a walk in the morning. They you know, they go out, go to the loo, have some food and just settle down again. But if they don't get a walk at night, they get really jittery. And so by about 7 o'clock, they will start just barking at you and chasing each other around the living room. You know, and they need to go. So every night they go for a walk for an hour at 7 o'clock, and then they come back, settle down, go out again just before bed, and easy.
So having said that, what do you do when you get home then? If you're not making a fuss and if you've got this sort of routine when you leave, is it sort of a similar thing when you get back home from work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I get home, I don't go and see Cinder straight away. She can obviously hear that my car's pulled up and know that I'm there. But the first thing I actually do is get ready to go for a walk with her. So grab her lead, grab her ball, and I take her down to the park, give her a run around for a while, chasing her ball, which she really loves. And I know when she's ready to go home because she stops bringing the ball back to me. Because she, you know, she gets to the point where she's panting and she's like, okay, I've had enough. I'm not going to bring the ball back, which is fine. Then we do a short walk around the park, and then we go home. So she'll stay outside for a little while after we've come back from a walk. She'll have her dinner, and then she's allowed to come inside to play with her toys inside.
And Alan, you mentioned that your dogs get antsy around 7 o'clock for a walk.
Oh yeah, they love going out. And I suppose, I mean, I've got to say, when I go home, I probably do the wrong thing. So I'm always met by a pack of little, very excited dogs at the front door, and I give them attention. But I suppose in their case, they haven't been alone all day because they've got there are three of them to interact with each other. So, you know, it's probably easier on them.
And what about sleep time? I remember you saying that one of your dogs alerts you for sleep time.
Prudence.
A very, very, very old dog decides that she wants to go to bed about 10:30. And she gets to sleep on the bed. So the other two don't. They have their own bed where they've always slept. So at about 10:30, she sort of toddles off into the bedroom and toddles back and toddles in and toddles back until you go to bed.
So it sounds like, you know, getting this routine going is sort of like it's something where you need to gauge the response of your dog as well as making the routine yourself too.
I guess so, yeah. And I suppose it's just like, I mean, all families need routines, don't they? It's the same as kids.
It'll be different for every single dog. You know, some dogs won't want to eat twice a day. They might only want to eat once a day. But, you know, once you figure that out and once you actually set that routine, it also helps when you move house or something like that, because you do have that routine that you can fall straight back into and it sort of doesn't displace them as much.
Yeah. Well, I think we've established that routine's a good thing to have.
Absolutely. And for more information, always visit our website, which is www.dogshome.com.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. I'm Kevin, here with Oslam and Alan today on Pets Aloud. We're exploring ways to keep your pets happy and safe while you return to work for the year.
Now, some pets struggle with staying at home more than others, particularly dogs with separation anxiety. I think, Alan, this is an area that, you know lots about. What needs to be done with dogs that do have separation anxiety?
I think you have to sort of train them that it's okay to be alone, and you want to do that right from the start. So I would start off leaving them for really short periods. So just 5 minutes, you know, put them outside or leave them where you want them to stay. Leave them there. Don't go to them when they're being noisy or, you know, when they're barking or getting upset. You can talk to them from the other side of the door, and hopefully that will calm them down and get them quiet. And then once they're quiet, you can go to them and reward them for being quiet.
Yeah.
And you just keep repeating that.
And gradually build it up as well. So you might start at 5 minutes, but then go to 10 once they're comfortable with that. And it teaches them that it's okay to be alone. You know, it's okay that you're not at home. And eventually you get to the point where, the whole day you're gone and that's fine. Like, they're not going to stress you about that. Giving them things to distract them as well. So toys and treats and things like that will always help. It'll help calm them down before you leave as well, and give them, as I said, that distraction onto something else to think about.
And training them that even when you're there, they don't have to be with you by your side all the time. So if they've got a bed or a mat, and when they're with you, you train them to stay there, so you've got that little bit of distance, then they should be happier to stay there when you're not there, because they know where the place is.
Yeah. And also, if you're going to be keeping your dog outside, to make sure that they're happy and comfortable outside as well. So, never using outside as a punishment. Mm. I know a lot of, when I was growing up, my parents instilled in us that if the dogs are naughty, they go outside. Now, you know, what's going to be the benefit for that dog to then want to go outside? They're going to think, oh, that's a bad place. I've done something wrong to go out there.
And also playing with your dog outside so that it learns that it's a nice place. It's not just where they go when you're not there, then that makes it much nicer for them.
So creating that positive association with that space. Yeah. And in terms of, leaving, like distracting them, like the point that you're actually leaving home, what would you do?
So don't make a fuss about the fact that you're leaving home. Give them a bit of a run around, a bit of a play before you go. About 15 to 20 minutes beforehand, put them outside. Let them see you sort of getting ready to go, that sort of thing. And they'll, give them something that's going to stop them from being too focused on that point. So, a toy that's got some food in it, or a raw bone.
Something really nice. It's got to be, just giving them a bowl full of dry dog food probably isn't going to cut it. So you have to find something special that they really like, and it's going to keep them occupied for a good 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I suppose the other thing about leaving is don't always give the same signals when you're going to leave. Because then they start picking up on that. So if you always put on your coat, pick up
your keys
from a certain place, go to the garage, get in the car. So try and mix it up a little bit. Then they don't pick up on the signals that you're going.
So a lot of it comes down to distraction or trying to throw them off a little bit. Does it in a way when you're leaving the point that you're leaving?
Yeah, or not so much distraction, but just providing them with something to do, which is as attractive as you being there. Mm-hmm. Or more attractive, hopefully.
Yeah, and just making sure they have plenty of things to do whilst they're outside by themselves as well. So toys, make sure that you rotate your toys daily so that they always have something interesting outside, and they're always sort of going, I actually want to be outside, it doesn't matter. And it's actually the same when you come home. So not making a big fuss, as we talked about before, just sort of casually coming in, not going straight to them. But if you can let them inside if you want your dog inside, but don't go crazy about it. Don't pat them like crazy, etc. Because you're actually rewarding them every time you do that, and you're rewarding them for barking or whining or bouncing around, whereas if you just let them inside and let them calm down, then they sort of settle. So I actually had an issue where the beagle was suffering separation anxiety from the border collie. So it was, she wanted her friend all the time, and if I'd ever take Cinder to training, Luna would freak out. So what we actually had to do was, when we got home, Cinder actually had to stay in the car inside the garage for a little while in the cool, so she wasn't at stress or anything like that, so that Luna would get used to her not being home straight away, and then we'd put her outside and they'd be able to play together and everything like that. Because as soon as Cinder came home, she would check over her and go, oh, where's my puppy? How's my puppy going? Is she okay? So that's something that you can figure as well.
Dogs are really, really clever, and they pick up on things that you have no idea they're picking up on. So often, it sounds really logical, but sometimes you need a bit of help to actually work out what's going on. So if you're having issues, it's good to talk to someone. So talk to a vet who, if the problem's severe, can put you onto a behavior specialist, and they can work out exactly what's going on and exactly what you need to do to break the pattern, because it's all learned patterns.
And if you notice that your dog is really struggling, you know, if you've tried the tips that we've gone over, again, a vet's really important.
Yeah, and there are medications which can help with severe separation anxiety, but you really need to see a vet and probably a specialist before you go down that route, because mm-hmm. they don't work by themselves, and you have to do all the other training and behavior modification. So there really isn't a quick fix.
Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long. Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
So on Pets Allowed today, we are talking a bit about keeping your pets happy and safe while you return to work. So there's another thing, which is backyard boredom, that we want to combat. And it's not the same as separation anxiety. So, Alan, give us a bit. What's backyard boredom?
Backyard boredom is, I suppose, when dogs are left alone and they haven't got enough to occupy them, so they decide to do something which turns into a problem. So it's generally things like barking. They destroy things. They'll start digging. They'll repeatedly get out and become a nuisance that way. So rather than, you know, it's a healthy dog, it's not a stressed dog, it's not an anxious dog, it's just a bored dog, really.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways that you can combat this, Kev, and I know that you actively do quite a lot with your Border Collie.
Absolutely. So there's quite a few different ways that you can combat backyard boredom. One of them is to rotate your dog's toys daily. So basically, if you're anything like me, you'll have like 30 dog toys anyway. So it's about putting 10 dog toys out one morning, at night going and picking up all those 10, putting a different 10 out the next day, again at night, picking up those, keeping them fresh, every day replenishing those 10 different toys so that you have a 3-day cycle.
And you can hide them.
That's right.
So don't just throw them all in the middle of the lawn.
Yeah.
Put them in different places so they have to find them.
And the same with hiding food or things like that as well. And that way, you know, they always think, oh, a new toy. Like, I haven't seen this one for 3 whole days. But surprisingly enough, they don't cotton onto that very quickly. And it is something exciting. Another way is to make your feeding times last longer as well. So things like Kongs or Buster Cubes, where you can actually stuff the food inside a treat and then seal it up with, say, peanut butter or Vegemite. Cinder is a Vegemite girl and she really loves it. Freeze it and then give it to them. It takes them a little while to get the treat out, and then, you know, they're sort of occupied for that first 20 minutes to an hour, depending on
or
how
even
long
if you feed dry food, just hide it again, like the toys, hide it in 5 or 6 different places around the yard and change those places every day so that they have to go and look for it. And
create a bit of an edible treasure hunt
for
your pets.
We used to do that with the beagle, but her nose was so good that she would find them in 10 seconds flat. So we ended up just scattering the food outside, and that way it took her a little while to find each individual piece of food on the ground. It does sometimes end in a little bit of digging, but, you know, that does happen. You can also build a sand pit in the backyard and make sure you bury treats and toys in there. So if they do dig, they'll dig in that only in that one spot. Now, don't forget about cats as well. Whilst they're not in your backyard, they still do need that sort of attention. So scratching posts inside. You can be creative as well. So empty cardboard boxes. Mm. I know cats love cardboard boxes. My friend Jared, his cat Zach, absolutely is obsessed with cardboard boxes. Also McDonald's straws. But
you can do the food thing with cats as well. You can get balls which you can put dry cat food in, and they have to chase it around to get the food out, and that sort of, it gives them something to do and also stops them getting fat. You can actually just do it with little plastic drink bottles, so just cut 2 or 3 holes in and then fill them up with food.
We are going to talk a bit more about cats right after Kylie Minogue with Did It Again. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home, Joy 94.9. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. So, you might have returned to work, the kids are back at school. Have you thought about what your cat might get up to during the day?
Although cats are generally characterised as being independent, they too need TLC and routine, although they tend to like to set the routine themselves.
We touch based with Karina, our cat shelter manager, and she gave us a few tips that we can share with you. She suggested to feed your cats at the same time and stick to the same bedtime. So leave some dried food throughout the day in their bowl along with some fresh water, and feed them wet food in the morning and in the evening.
So even though your cat will most likely sleep for most of the day, which is what I see the cats in the shelter do, irrespective of age, they will have some bursts of energy. Now, I once heard that these bursts of energy, this is what I refer to as my dog, is called a frap. Alan, have you heard of a frap before?
Not until this morning, but okay. It makes perfect sense to me.
So it's called, frap stands for frenetic?
Frantic. Or frantic.
Frantic random activity period. So a period of time when the dog or the cat is just got so much energy and you can see it in their face and they might bolt around the backyard or bolt around the house.
Or the person.
Or the person.
I think that perfectly describes that moment that cats go through because they do look a little frantic and they've just got all this energy to burn.
And as we talked about, scratching poles are another good thing because you might not want your cat to destroy your furniture.
Yeah, and if you can use catnip around the scratching pole. Mm-hmm. Most cats really like it and it'll train them to use it. Or you can get sprays which contain pheromones which encourage cats to use to scratch where you want them
okay.
to scratch.
Yeah.
So. And what about those toys you were talking about earlier, Alan? Mm. The sort of Kong toys or
yep,
the bottle?
You can get the balls which hold dry food or just use the little soft drink bottle. Or you can get all sorts of interactive toys. So tubes with balls that go through them, that kind of thing.
So the cat can't actually retrieve it, but no, they try to and it keeps them.
They think they can.
Yeah. And even simple things like, a bunched up piece of paper or some foil that might find them interesting.
They're not very picky, are they?
No, cats generally, when they find something that they want, they go, yep, I want that and I'm going to play with it. Yeah. So sometimes, with dogs, you can get two dogs and they kind of will keep each other company, if you can handle having two dogs. But with cats, it's not always the same.
No, I think if you're going to do that, you need to get them together.
Yeah.
You get two kittens together at the start. Otherwise, I mean, they generally learn to tolerate each other, but they don't generally get on.
So that's not one way
no,
really sort of keeping them
that.
Company. Yeah.
No.
If you're keeping your cats indoors, which you should be doing, that's what we suggest, make sure that your windows are closed and all your doors are closed because whilst you're away, you don't want your cat to sort of run away. And having said that, the golden words, identify, update, in order to reunite, make sure your cat has a microchip and has a collar ID tag so that you can be reunited if they do slip out.
Yeah, and with dogs as well, you can't really expect your dog to stay at home if you're not there. Mm. If you don't have fences and you don't of gates.
That's right.
Absolutely. Make sure you've got a fenced in yard because, otherwise they're just going to go roaming wherever they want.
And that may sound silly, but you would not believe how often that happens.
Look, I have heard it before as well.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
We've had such a great response to our half-price adoption promotion at our North Melbourne and Campaspe shelters over the past month. We are very pleased to say that many of our cats and dogs are currently living in new and loving homes.
Have you got a newly adopted furry family member and are kind of concerned about leaving them at home while you go to work?
Don't stress.
We're here.
We are here.
We've got the tips for you. So, again, it's about routine, isn't it, Alan?
Routine's really important for newly adopted pets right from the start. So they've been through a period of extreme change and lots of instability, and setting up a new routine as soon as you get them home gives them confidence and helps them settle in quickly.
And it's not just for say, like a puppy or a kitten. It's actually any dog or cat that comes into your home. It's about setting up those rules for your house and making sure that they know that they're safe, that they're comfortable, and that they're going to be enjoying their experience with you.
And now, just start as you mean to go on, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And stick with it.
And don't change the goalposts.
Yes.
And it actually probably makes it better for you in the long run as well. It's not frustrating.
It makes it much easier.
It makes it a pleasant experience for the long run.
Now, Alan, what kind of things will the home do after you adopt from us?
So the home can help and support in lots of different ways. The first thing is at the time of the adoption, all the people who carry out the adoption procedure, they're all vet nurses, so they're all qualified to give advice, and they give really good advice, so it's important to listen to them. We give you a booklet as well, and it covers all sorts of things that your pet needs, from medical things, behavioral things, training things, and it's really important that when you get home you read that and probably read it again a few days later because you might have missed things. If you are having problems, then the best thing to do is get in contact with us. So we offer free veterinary consults for the first 2 weeks. And
wow, that's really good.
You know, if there's a real issue, you know, we can stretch it out a little bit longer. We're pretty flexible. And that's not just limited to medical problems. We're happy to discuss problems with settling them in, toilet training issues. If they're starting to show signs of anxiety in the early stages, then, you know, we will help with all that. And we also have a free post-adoption training session with Planet Canine.
At our North Melbourne shelter.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, again, that's a perfect opportunity to bring up anything that you think is becoming an issue.
So just quickly, we have an article up on our website at the moment that lists quite a few good tips. So check that out, dogshome.com. And quickly, some of the tips are walk before work, scent for familiarity. So leave behind, you know, an item of clothing to give your pet that sense that you're around. And it's also a good time for a backyard blitz. So to make sure that your backyard is safe.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. So remember, you can check out that article on our website, which is www.dogshome.com. You're on Pets Allowed with The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Alrighty, so I think that's enough of the Eurythmics for today. So every week on Pets Allowed with The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9, we speak to Dr. Alan Bolton, who is here every week with us.
Yes.
And he answers any sort of questions that anyone ever has about veterinary stuff. So today we have an email from Phil in Elstonwick, who he heard that fish oil can benefit dogs with arthritis. He wanted to learn a bit more about that. Now, Alan, fish oil. I wouldn't touch the stuff myself.
Nor me.
Should I feed it to my dog?
Well, nutritional supplements have gained huge popularity with dogs and people over the last few decades. And with regards to arthritis, there are lots of different forms of arthritis, but they all involve some degree of inflammation. Fish oils contain high levels of specific fatty acids, which may be able to moderate or reduce the development of inflammation. When you look at scientific studies in people and in dogs, there isn't that much evidence out there. But a lot of people certainly say they feel better. And a lot of dog owners say their dogs look better and are much more comfortable when they have supplements. Now, there are other supplements which can be used as well, things like glucosamine and chondroitin. And they may also be derived from fish, so things like shark cartilage. These are different from fish oils. They're actually structural components of cartilage. And I suppose with those, you're trying to give stuff to make the cartilage heal. Again, there isn't really that much scientific evidence, but people, you know, say it works. So who's to say? If you're going to start your dog on something like this, I would talk to your vet first and probably use one of the veterinary formulations at least to start off with, because you'll get the dose right. There are all sorts of different qualities out there. They're not controlled in the same way as drugs. Some fish oils can have quite high levels of mercury, which can be toxic. So, and also you want to make sure that your dog actually has arthritis and that it doesn't have something nastier. So talk to your vet, use a vet approved one first, and you have to use them for months and months before you sort of give up and say it doesn't work. So yeah, I think give it a go. One thing I'd say is don't give them to cats, certainly without speaking to a vet who knows what they're talking about and researches it properly, because cats are always different.
So there you have it. As always, do your research before giving anything to your pet that you might be a bit unsure about. Thank you very much, Phil, for that question. If you have something that you would like to ask Alan, please get in touch with us on our email address, which is lostdogshome@joy.org.au. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Oslam and Alan, and today we have been talking all about settling your new pet in for when you're going back to work or school. So coming up right after this, we're going to have dog dates. You're with The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is dog dates.
It is time to do a bit of dog dates and see what's coming up over the next coming weeks. So firstly, as most of you may know, this weekend is Pride March. Oz, tell us a bit more about Pride.
Oh, well, there's going to be lots of activity happening on Fitzroy Street, I believe. From 2 p.m., the march is going to start, and it will wrap up at with a lot of entertainment at Katani Gardens.
Yep. Down at the bottom, Fitzroy Street.
Have you been previously?
Yes.
Alan?
Yeah. I didn't go last year, but I've been a few times. Yeah.
And it's pet friendly. People bring along their dogs.
As pet friendly as Fitzroy Street ever is.
Ever is. So, yeah, we recommend that you take your dogs on a lead if you're going to attend. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. We might get a bit of a bit of feedback about it from you, Alan, next week.
Yes, Alan is going to be there as well if you want to meet him. We also have coming up on Sunday, the 10th of February, Banyul City Council's Companion Animal Microchipping Day, which is at Ivanhoe Town Hall. It is from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and the cost is $25. If you want to book, do visit the Pet Register website, which is www.petregister.com.au. There is an events page on there. Otherwise, you can call the National Pet Register on 1300-REG-PET, 1300-734-738. And so we have talked a bit about our centenary coming up. Oz, there's a big, exciting thing happening with Centenary.
Yes, on Sunday, March 3, we're going to be having the Gracie Street Pet Fest. The iconic Gracie Street in North Melbourne will be totally transformed into a vibrant and fun street festival. This is an absolute must for all animal lovers. It's a free event dedicated to celebrating the special bond we share with our pets, but also to mark the Lost Dogs Home significant birthday, 100 years.
It is a very pet-friendly event. There'll be plenty of stuff to do. It's going to be emceed by the home's very special patron, Marty Field. It's going to feature a range of entertainment and activities for the whole family, which includes...
We will have pet talent and cooking show, a magic show and face painting for the kids.
I just want to clarify, it's not cooking your pets. Sounds a bit strange, pet cooking show.
Cooking for your
pets.
Cooking with your pet. No.
Yeah, cooking.
But cooking making the food that they love. So there'll be cakes and so forth. Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to feel about like I had to clarify that one there.
So animal communicator Caroline Pope will be doing a presentation. So that should be interesting. And we have a pet cafe and bakery and obedience demonstrations by Planet Canine.
There's also going to be the opening of our historic exhibition. So we'll be looking back at the last 100 years of the home and all the highlights of the 100 years and animal welfare, basically.
And don't forget, it is to celebrate the opening of our veterinary clinic as well. So come on down and check it out. That is the 3rd of March, Gracie Street Pet Fest. For more information, visit our website, which is dogshome.com. Well, it has come time to end another program. Now, next week, we will be talking about foster care. So every day, foster carers at the Lost Dogs Home assist with the process of helping our resident cats and dogs finding a new home. So we're going to look at some, more information about this very valuable program. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for all your questions that you do send through as well. We love getting feedback. Please remember to email us lostdogshome@joy.org.au. And don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pet
your cats.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.